The Rodcast.
If you want more information, go to rodders.com and click on Rodders FM. Without further ado, or any more monkeying, yes, monkeying around, this is Easy Listening Radio. This is Rodders FM! Let's get on with the show!
Warning, warning, this show is complete bollocks and is not fit for human consumption. If you or anyone you know are suffering severe mental episodes due to the content of this show, call the Rodders FM Psychiatric Helpline on 0844-884-831.
You have been warned.
Your week's been now. You've taken crap from everyone you know. But Friday come like morning sun. It's Rodders' brand new show.
It's got Z-list guests, crazy competitions, Mystic Mug and Beelzebub.
This song is diabolical.
Thank God it's Friday. It's day after Thursday. Thank God it's Friday. It's the day after Thursday. Thank God it's Friday. It's the day after Thursday.
That's right, you are listening to Rodders FM, live on the internet, on rodders.com. It's a fantastic show tonight. And it's just been bonkers. We just had our first ever edition of Backchat, starring good old me and good old Josh. I don't know how that I ended up banning him. But there you go. At least he can then listen back on a thing we like to call the Rodcast. On tonight's show, we have got You Make Me Sick. We have got What a Whizzing Wheeze. And our special guest tonight is none other than Ugly Phil from the Ugly Phil Breakfast Show. Now let me play a short extract from his endeavours when he used to be the Breakfast Show radio DJ on Kerrang!
Ugly Phil. The Ugly Phil Podcast.
Kerrang Radio.
I've got another request on the email, so I'll play it for you. This is the one you wanted.
Good morning, Boots. Can I help you?
Oh, can I speak with the pharmacist, please?
Yes, who's calling, please?
My name is Jeffries.
I'll just get for you. Hold on, please.
Thank you.
Hello, how can I help?
Well, is this the pharmacist?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get through to my doctor, and I've just thought maybe I'd ask your advice first.
I'm quite busy, but if you can make it quick.
It's rather delicate. I have one of the old-fashioned penis pumps.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure whether or not... Do they get air bubbles in them? I'm having a problem just trying to inflate it.
I honestly have no idea. I've never come across one.
Sure.
So I don't know what it looked like.
Yeah, my doctor said now that they're going to be doing the wire implant, but in the interim I have had the pump one for a while.
Yeah.
And if I can explain it to you, what's happened is it's usually got a fairly ease of operation.
Yeah.
But what I've got a feeling there might be an air bubble or something like that because it's not working as well as it should.
Okay.
Is this something you can help me with?
I think the best people to ring up would be the manufacturers.
Right.
And if it is possible to fix it at your end.
Would you have the replacement pump mechanism or device there?
No, we're quite a small chemist, stuff like this usually not often prescribed. So
sure.
It's normally just ordered in directly from a manufacturer.
It is working okay. Oh, I've just blown my cock off!
I think that might have been better. I've played before the watershed. Funny nonetheless.
Ugly Phil.
Ugly Phil.
The Ugly Phil Podcast.
Kerrang Radio.
Now, I've got quite a funny story to tell you about a sex-starved woman faces jail. This is from the Sun newspaper, would you believe? A sex-starved woman could be jailed for making over 700. That's more than I have hair on my body. 700 calls the emergency services, local army headquarters, and the town council demanding a woman for... demanding a man, sorry, for sex. Absolutely ridiculous. We're going to be discussing it at great... Now, guys, it's been prolonged long enough. The Ugly Phil Breakfast Show, DJ Ugly Phil, is up next.
Rotters FM, truth, justice, democracy, and blowing the crap out of the Iraq. God bless America!
Now, on the line, we have a breakfast radio DJ. It's the one, the only. He's got a face for radio. It's Ugly Phil.
Well, like that. You keep that going. That's nice.
I just want to know, have you always worked in radio, or was it something you slid into by mistake?
No, it was by mistake. I worked when I left school. I had no qualifications whatsoever. So I worked as a, what did I do? Cracky, everything. I worked as a collected shopping trolley for a supermarket. I worked as a car detailer, which meant you had to clean cars, basically. I did that for about a week. Worked in a bottle shop for a night. And then I thought, about when I was about 16, I thought, you know, I'm going to have to do something a bit more rewarding. So I was flicking through the job manual. You know, they give you these job manuals of job choices you can do. And I found one. I opened it, actually. And it opened on DistroJockey. And I thought, yeah, I'll do that to try and help you find a job. And so I opened that, found a advertisement for disc jockey, and said, yeah, I'm going to do that. And then every job that was advertised in the whole country, I just applied for.
What did you start off doing? What did you start off doing? Because from what I understand, which is fairly limited amount, that you have to start at the bottom and work your way up to the top.
Yeah. Yeah. My first job was pressing the buttons for the religious talkback program. I had one show a week and I got paid like £5 an hour or something.
That's appalling. I got in...
Then when I finished my very first show, which was like a sort of religious show, my very first record, I wasn't even thinking, was Highway to Hell by AC/DC.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, I mean, I didn't know, you know. And then, because I'm only 17, and then they've all gone, you can't do that. Can't play that.
Oh, religious shows always great for controversy. I got in trouble at hospital radio recently when I said when they were doing an FM broadcast and every show had a sponsor except the religious show. So I suggested that it should be sponsored by God, and they all got a bit angry at me.
People don't get it, do they? But they have a religious show on hospital radio.
Yeah, they do.
That's a bit like inappropriate, isn't it?
I don't know. It depends.
And here's one for Mrs. Brown in Ward F, who's going to be meeting God soon.
Oh, yeah.
Got your test results here, not looking good.
No, well, some people need that sort of thing.
That's right. Motivate them.
Bed. Maybe if they're frightened of going to hell because they've lived a bad life, maybe they'll make them jump out of bed, because I reckon 90% of the people on wards are either hypochondriacs or just there for the attention. Was that the worst job you've ever had in radio?
What was that one, the first one I did?
Yeah, when you were just pressing buttons. For five or an hour or whatever it
was. Oh, I worked once. I did an easy listening station once, and it was called Easy Listening 2CH, and it was horrible, because, like, you know, I'd be watching, you know, like really heavy music on telly, and then I'd have to turn it off and go, you know, Easy Listening 2CH. Easy. And you can never talk too slowly. They'd always go, you can talk slower if you want. Like, leave these long gaps between what you're saying. Easy listening.
Easy listening and with Ugly Phil. It doesn't sound quite right. How did you get the name Ugly Phil, or was it thrust upon you?
I don't know. Rachel used to say, my co-host used to say, I'm not ugly on the outside, but I am on the inside. So maybe that's it.
So it was Rachel who originally thought of it?
No, Rachel couldn't think of an original idea if it kept her up all night.
You started that. You were working with Rachel when you did the Ugly Phil Breakfast Show on Kerrang Radio. That must have been a huge gig. How on earth did you wangle getting that slot? Because it was a start-up station, so amazing opportunity.
Yeah, I know. I was actually sleeping with Rachel, and she was sleeping with the boss. And between, like, the three of us, you know, we managed to. It was a rather tangled web, but you know, eventually, you know, I mean, through a series of attrition, I managed to get on. It was a bit like that, really.
So there were three in the bed, and the little one said, "Have a breakfast show," basically.
Yeah, you know.
That's horrendous. I mean, you did some pretty controversial stuff, and you were saying that you didn't like your first job in radio. How about this poor bloke called the Friday Benchmark, who you made sit on a bench, and he always seemed pretty reluctant? Did you have to bully him into that?
Yeah, lady sod.
Whose idea was that?
Well, we were sitting around, and we thought we need to do something on Fridays, and they have to, in radio, like, they have to have things called benchmarks. So people know what time it is during the day. It's like, there's some real morons at working radio, they are, honestly. And I said, oh, well, we better have some benchmarks. I'm like, oh, Christ, we have to. So we were sitting there, and Mark walked past, and I said, why don't we get him to sit on a bench on Friday and call it the Friday Benchmark? So there you go.
It's great. And you also used to send Monk out to do wacky things like, I once saw it was listening in and he was conducting his own funeral in the middle of a Birmingham road. I mean, who came up with all those ridiculous ideas? Whose ideas were they?
We used to sit around, actually. He had some really good ideas. One of his best ideas was when we were in a meeting once, the sandwich lady opened the door and went, "Sandwiches!" He said, oh, we should record that. And then every time we've got somebody in for an interview, like, we'll, halfway through the interview, we'll press the sound effect and the woman will go, "Sandwiches!" And we'll go, "Stop the interview. Do you want a sandwich?"
Oh, that's ridiculous. It did seem like, were you wanting to sort of push the boundaries of radio, or were you just out there for a laugh?
I think, like, there's so much homogenised stuff on the radio, you know, I mean, it's not really difficult to sound different because most disc jockeys are morons. Most people that run radio are morons. So, you know, all they want is, hey, give us the nice, bright weather. And people don't hear that crap. So it's quite easy to push the boundaries on radio. You just do something different. But then it's also a bit of a risk as well because you might end up unemployed.
Oh, that's awful. But you get a lot of radio presenters. They've just got this generic radio voice that sounds a bit like this. You're listening to Wilson Scraddock FM or whatever.
That sounded like Chris Moore for a minute there.
Yeah, it did a bit. Oh, I'd hate to sound like him. But where are you from? Judging by your voice, it doesn't sound like it's local or from the generic radio presenter factory.
What are you talking about?
Where are you from?
I'm from Birmingham. I'm from Stourbridge.
Oh dear!
Can't you tell? No, I was from Essex, but I lived in Australia for a lot of my life.
Well, did your radio presenting career start out there when you were doing that radio show?
Yeah, Australia. Yeah.
You must have done quite a few interviews during the time. And what's the best and the worst guest you ever had on your show?
God, best guest was Will Smith because he's always really up for a laugh. But I interviewed Madonna once in Los Angeles, and that was really interesting. Well, that was absolutely petrifying. I went to the gym beforehand and worked out for about half an hour just to get rid of the fear. But the worst one was Val Kilmer, and I had to interview him on a Saturday morning at the radio station. I had a really bad hangover, and he was just not in the mood. He was right arsy, but he always is. He's got a reputation for being really arsy. And I was saying to him, you know, hey, well, you know, Oliver Stone said that, you know, when he made Jim Morrison, it was really easy. You just put you in a pair of leather pants and off you go, leather trousers and off you go. And he goes, yeah.
Oh.
Like, all right, great, thanks. And so anyway, what was it like doing this one? All right, great. You know, with a hangover, you don't need that.
No, not at all. It's not a guy that gives one word monosyllabic grunts.
Yeah.
Speaking of monosyllabic grunts and the like, what was it like working with Rachel? Because you seem to have a great chemistry going on there. Like, she used to keep you in check when you used to go overboard, and you used to sort of stop her going off on one, and it just seemed to work really well.
Yeah, you know, I'd come up with all the great ideas, and she'd sit there and grunt. You know, but she's really good. She's, you know, the thing is, like, I don't ever prepare what I'm going to do, and when we first started working together, she's like, what are we doing next? I said, I don't know, you know, just go with it. And in the end, she really liked that. She got used to it.
Did, it sounds like a lot of the show does sound pretty much made up on the spot, although is there a lot of planning that goes on behind the scenes?
Yeah, we had a pie chart, and everything that went into the pie chart, you know, like, was organised the day before. We'd get off the air at 9, and most people were coming to work and work on the next day, and then we'd, like, get all the interviews, make sure they were all edited and put in the spot, and then we'd do all of the, you know, the pre-recorded gotcha calls and all that. But the ad-lib stuff was just literally ad-lib. We just never knew what we were going to say next. So, you know, the benchmarks, if you can use that expression, were always in place beforehand, and then we just worked around that.
You did an awful lot of prank calls, which are always great fun to hear. And the thing is with prank calls, most radio presenters do them now when they're trying to be edgy, but you actually managed to be edgy. Like, for instance, you phoned up a chemist and were testing out a winky inflator, for use of a better word, and
yeah,
then complained about blowing your knob off. Did you ever get in trouble over this sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, right, you know, I was reading something the other day about somebody saying, look, there's nothing funny in, you know, ringing up old ladies on the air and pranking them. But the bottom line is there is something funny in that. As long as it's not malicious and you're not hurting anybody and you're not like, scaring anybody. But, you know, I mean, people take themselves far too seriously. But the skill is to try and make it sound like it's real as well. It's very difficult when you're pretending that you've just blown your winky up.
So, did you ever get in trouble over that, though?
No. I'd always ask you to get permission for them to put it on the air. Afterwards, I'd always go, oh, no. I wasn't sure, but I thought that was a wind-up.
Oh, my goodness. Because it did sound pretty realistic, and then the person sort of panics and puts the phone down. Have you ever got in trouble over your radio career, or have you managed just to stay one step before the precipice?
No, I mean, it's easy to offend. There's always somebody out there will get offended. I mean, all you have to do is read the letters to the editor in the newspaper and you'll see that there's always somebody out there to get offended by anything. But I didn't go out my way to it. But I once did something, I can't remember what it was, but it was in Australia, and I got named in Parliament for it. Somebody ran in and said, you've just been named in Parliament. I went, oh, what happens now? Do I lose my driver's license? What goes on? Do you know what I mean? So, you know, what are they going to send me to jail? So, you know. It was all good. And then he came on the show, the politician, and he saw what it was all about, and he was fine.
What do you reckon was the best stunt you pulled on air?
Oh, probably the one I came up with when we had two blokes come in, and they had to kiss each other for concert tickets. It turned out that we're father and son. And we're like, what are we going to do now? So she said, well, make them eat each other's pubes in a sandwich.
Oh, I remember that. It was ridiculous. You came up with lots of wacky ideas, and probably the wackiest was in the last month or so of your breakfast show. You went down to somebody's house and did the show from the house with the band The Automatic.
Yeah, that was brilliant. Yeah, but we didn't turn next to neighbours, and of course we thought they were going to do an acoustic thing, but they brought, you know, mountains of equipment, and then all of a sudden at 8 o'clock, bang, you know, this band kicks off. In a lounge room, and the next door neighbour, you know, came around and said, what's going on? So they got a band in there. Yeah, we do, actually.
Oh, my God. Was it difficult getting all the buttons and switches and God knows what else in your
No, but I'm working at Oxford at the moment, and that's, like, one of the most difficult desks I've ever worked on. So, you know, sometimes computer geeks come up with the idea for how the desk should work as opposed to, you know, radio people. And you just have buttons that are all over the place, don't make any sense.
Oh, there's a great one down at Hospital Radio I work, and everything's in the wrong place. You have to stretch to find one fader and the other one, and, like, so everyone sort of neglected that studio. It's a complete waste of money. And
I worked at XFM last Sunday, and the microphone broke, and I had to fix it with elastic bands. It was ridiculous.
Crikey, that must have been, like, it didn't show, because I was listening to that show. Is that one of the worst things that's gone wrong on air?
Everything goes wrong at some stage, do you know what I mean? There's always something that can go wrong, and will.
I'm doing my show from a bedroom, so that is absolutely the ingredient you need for something to go wrong. I've had the most ridiculous things happen. I've had my computer run out of memory halfway through a live interview, so everything crashed. I've had wires coming unplugged, things falling over, co-hosts not turning up, or actually turning up drunk. That was a laugh. Yeah.
Sounds like Rachel. Yeah, well, at least your mum hasn't come in yet and found you with, you know, Big Jugs magazine open or anything.
Oh, dear, no, not yet. That'll probably happen later today. And you're currently doing the XFM show. What's it called? The X List?
Yeah.
It sounds a bit dodgy. Is it good fun to do, though?
Yeah, it is. It's really hard work because you've got to ring people back and half the time they don't answer their phone. And then you've got to, like, find the song in the system. And because it's indie, most of the songs are about 3 minutes long or 2.5 minutes. Constantly working.
So it's a great station, and cheers for playing my request.
Although, no, it's my pleasure.
I'm not surprised you couldn't find it. I asked for Common People by Blur, and they never even recorded that. But,
is that right?
So it's no wonder. I only realised that a few days afterwards.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Well,
I know. Something that was pulp, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pulp indeed.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. They're all the same band.
And just before we end this interview, we have a fortune teller in this in my studio, well slash
yep.
bedroom. And I'm wondering, would you like the amazing Mystic Mug to try and predict your future?
Oh yeah, crikey, of course, yeah.
All right, hang right there, and she may even bring on her apprentice, Mystic Malcolm, if you're lucky.
She's been to the brink of insanity and back to tell you your future.
It's the magical, mystical
Mystic Mug.
Hello, Mystic Malcolm here. I'm just wondering. I need to do a bit of fortune telling. My apprenticeship isn't going very well, so, Mr. Phil, what type of tea do you drink?
Green tea.
Green tea? Oh, crikey, I've only got as far as Earl Grey.
Look, Malcolm, this really isn't good enough. I told you to practice this.
I'll get Mystic Mug.
Hello, Phil. I reckon this green tea is an omen. I think you will become so ugly, you will grow four beards in all the wrong places, and start your own station, and rival Radio Caroline, and get bored, and then devour an entire factory's worth of McFlurry!
Well, that's her diagnosis. I don't know if there was any truth in that.
No, I liked it, because you see how I went green tea really slowly as though I was talking to an automated voice system. Green tea. I don't know why I did that. I don't even like green tea.
Neither do I, really. It's quite bizarre. I mean, I'm mostly addicted to coffee at the moment. What would be great if they could just give you coffee in intravenous drips?
They can at the hospital, but that's only when the religious show is on.
Oh, next time I'm down at Hospital Radio, I'm going to have to try and lick an intravenous drip full of caffeine and...
Nice, like it.
I could then do a 24-hour talk show. I'd be up all the time.
Crikey, you'll end up like, what's his name? James Whale.
Yeah. One more question. Who's the best person you've... you talked about Rachel. Who at the moment, do you think is the best in radio?
Well, apart from you.
Oh cheers. I wasn't angling for that.
I don't know. Well, I quite like Chris Evans lately. He's very funny. I think he's quite good. I think I used to like him, but I like him a lot more now.
And apart from the XFM station, are you working on any other stations? Because I saw...
Yeah, I'm working in Oxford as well.
Which station, so I can get people to tune in?
FM 107.9, yes. Which I keep screwing up and calling
107.9. Oh, I'm great at screwing things up. I spent Hospital Radio the other week. I was playing. They left me in charge, and like the studio manager walks off, and I'm just there on the desk, and I'm playing all the wrong jingles. Unless they listen back to the monitor tapes, they will never know.
Exactly, unless somebody like you know shocks you. But if it's somebody from the from the dying ward, you should be all right. You know, give it 7 days, you'll be all right.
Good old dying wards.
But if they had a dying ward, that would be terrible. You know, where's Mum? She's in the dying ward. Oh my God! I thought it wasn't serious.
Hospital Radio. There's so much scope for being accidentally inappropriate.
Yeah, exactly. And with that, I'm going to go before you get me in more trouble.
He's been a fantastic guest. It's Ugly Bill, or Will, or should I say, Ugly Phil!
Cheers, Geezer.
Bye.
Hello and welcome to Topical Pish, your 90-second celebrity update. I'm Justin Decent. And first this week, it's been reported that the 97-year-old veteran TV actor Herbert Russett, star of the racist 70s sitcom Look Who's Moved In Next Door and the 1980s children's TV drama series Bubble in the Pot, has very sadly lost his spectacles. The horn-rimmed bifocals were last seen on his bedside table, although eyewitnesses believe he may have taken them off in the doctor's, where he was reading a pamphlet on gout. British comedy entrepreneur Sir Clive Sinclair has unveiled his latest invention, the pocket rotisserie. The loony device, which folds up small enough to fit inside a peg bag, can roast up to 3 small garden birds at once, and is powered by 2 electrodes inserted into an orange. The shiny Bonsk professor, who is often mistaken for Dr. Bunsen Honeydew, thinks the device will sell particularly well in the Far Eastern markets, where he believes they'll buy any old gadget and eat anything that moves. His next product, launching in 2010, will be a mini helicopter that can be piloted by badgers. Gordon Ramsay has launched his latest reality shouting show. Potty-mouthed Ramsay, 43, supervises death row inmates from Texas as they cook their own last meal. As shown in this clip, the program will see Ramsay use the threat of the electric chair as an effective motivation tool.
Do you want to go?
No way. No way, chef.
Do you want to go?
No way, chef.
Get me a spaghetti and move your ass, chef.
Yes, chef.
You're back in the institute again, aren't you?
No way, chef.
Serving that.
And old habits die hard when a convicted murderer tries to add to his tally of victims.
The chicken is raw.
Yes, chef.
You're going to kill someone.
A public vote then decides the first inmate to be dispatched to meet their doom, waved off and thanked by a sympathetic Ramsay.
Get the off you, you fat, useless sack of Yankee, tanky doodle.
That's You're Going to Hell's Kitchen, this Thursday at 9 on ITV2. And that's it then. Coming up next, it's Celebrity Stickle Brick Challenge, but for now you're up to date. Your music was Just Beats from 37 Hertz at 37hz.net, and I'll be back with you soon for another Essential Celebrity Update. Ta-ra! Produced by TopicalPish.com.
Now we're going to do What a Whizzing Wheeze, which is when I phone up a mate and tell them a complete lie. Basically, the lie today is, in America, a woman decided to wash a cabbage in a washing machine, and the cabbage was terribly badly damaged. She then sends it back to the supermarket and to ask for a replacement, because they were quite rare to come by, and she gets a bill for the funeral of a cabbage. Do you think I'm either going to bring my mate Tim, who is quite dopey? All right, good. Charlie, you were live across the internet on Rodders.com, and you were taking part in What a Whizzing Wheeze. I'm going to ring one of my mates.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Do you think Tim will believe it?
Well, yeah, because you've kind of done the other person before, so they might be suspecting it.
That's true, but he never found out he was on the air. Yeah, anyway, did you enjoy the Ugly Phil interview?
Yeah, it's very good.
Wicked. Anyway, cheers for calling the show. Speak to you later. I'll phone you back if you are correct in your prediction.
Oh, it's not easy being an aristocrat. I'm bored, 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 stiff as a log, bored, rigid, more bored than a bored old boiled egg that got boiled in boredom juice. I say, Jeeves! Jeeves!
Yes, sir?
I'm bored out of my bonds. Find some way in which to amuse me.
Well, sir, might I suggest that you call people up and tell them a great big lie?
Hello?
I say, Barnaby, do you know Adolf Hitler was really a woman?
Really?
What a whizzing wheeze!
Yes, that's right, this is What a Whizzing Wheeze. And I'm now going to ring my mate Tim.
Hello?
Hey Tim, it's Rodri, you alright?
Hey, you alright?
Yeah, you been going to judo lately?
I was going to go tonight, but I couldn't go.
Anyway, I found out something. I heard something really, really weird. This woman in a part of America, apparently, she bought a cabbage and she was going to wash it to eat it. So she sticks it in the washing machine. And, of course, the cabbage got completely mangled. And they're quite rare in that part of America. This was probably in Arizona or a desert place. So she sends it back to the supermarket. And so asked to have a new one. And they send her back with a notice and a bill for a funeral.
What?
It's bonkers.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's true.
Don't know. Pass, that's me. That's what the newspapers now.
I don't know, but I don't. There must be some truth in it. Do you think there is? I'm really not sure.
I don't know. Where did you read it?
I saw it in the Sun.
Perhaps. Perhaps not the Zenith if it's the Sun.
Oh, it's so confusing, though. Because like, you can just not tell what you cannot tell at all what is truthful in the papers anymore. But still, the Sun's fairly respectable, isn't it?
I think most of it, or at least if it's like really based on something.
If you read it, would you believe it?
Probably not. I think that was a fake PMS, but
it sounds
if it happened, I wouldn't be like so surprised.
Soon.
Right, yeah.
Cheers, Tim. See ya.
Right, yeah. See ya. Bye.
Here is Marwood with Monday over Friday, myspace.com/Marwood.
as I struggle to stay sober, like a viper getting older, but you just can't win. Some nights life is a stranger in the mirror. You love her so much that you fear her, and you just can't win. But tonight it's like I woke up from a dream, and nothing's quite as broken as it seems. Well, I'll take Monday over Friday, I'll take your way over my way. I won't stay out late, and I'll be satisfied. And I tell you that I miss you, all I wanna do is kiss you one more time before you close your eyes. Time before you say goodbye. Sometimes life is a struggle to remember why she leaves and why it lets her, and you just can't win. Sometimes life is everything you'd hoped for, given to you but you want more, and you just can't win. But tonight it's like I woke up from a everything's as broken as it seems. Oh, I'll take Monday over Friday, I'll take your way over my way. I won't stay out late, and I'll be satisfied. And I'll tell you that I miss you, all I wanna do is kiss you one more time before you say goodbye. Of redemption, a loss of apprehension, and I take it as it comes. Some nights I feel the warmth of your surrender, it hurts so much more than tender, but I left you so far away. Well, I'll take Monday over Friday, take your way over my way, and I stay. And I tell you that I miss you, all I wanna do is kiss you one more time before you say goodbye. I'll take Monday over Friday, I'll take your way over my way, and I'll stay out late, and I'm not satisfied. And I tell you that I miss you, all I wanna do is kiss you one more time before you close your eyes. One more time before you say goodbye.
Robert's FM. It's much better than a Yorkshire pudding.
Hello, you're listening to Robert's FM. I'm Jonty.
I'm Mankety Tankety.
Orange bear, bear.
Yeah, get away, you big orange fool. Anyway, that's who we are.
Yes, that's right. Rodders FM. Live across the internet. On rodders.com. Now, we're going to take a phone call here about this ridiculous news item I read out earlier.
Hello?
Hello, is that Johnny?
Yep.
Oh, I'm so disappointed. I was meant to be ringing Jonty from Big Brother, not you. Oh, God.
Yeah, good one.
Anyway, Johnny, you're live across the internet on rodders.com. Cheers for listening to the show.
So, mate, how are you doing?
It's going pretty well. I've been on air, as you were saying on the phone to me off air, I sound knackered, and I pretty much am, and I had a blind panic because I nearly lost the entire recording of the Rodcast.
Have you found it again now?
Well, Stickcam managed to record it on video, which is unusual because their video recorder normally is a load of crap. But enough nerding. And, anyway, this sex-starved woman, you've heard this story, haven't you, off me? And I'm going to go into more detail. Hannah, who with an unpronounceable surname, age 42, from Poland, could be jailed up to a year after police traced calls back to her house demanding... She was phoning councils and emergency services demanding sex, and she says, and I quote,
I was desperate for sex. It is so long since I have had someone in my bed.
Is that a Polish accent, Johnny?
That sounded Eastern European, to be sure.
Oh, that's good.
She sounds mentally unhinged.
She does. And she also sounds very much like
the Italian that Josh upset by leaving litter by his stall in the...
if you were listening to the... what was it called? I keep writing Backchat. That's the name of my new show. Crikey. If you're listening to Backchat, you'll know what I'm talking about. Italians getting litter left by them by Josh. Unbelievable. This is completely ridiculous, this story, isn't it?
Can I just say, Rodri?
Yeah.
The calibre of the people in your chat room on this spit cam box on my screen is disgusting. That Woogie, I think I know who he really is, is narcissistic. That other one who was on your show, he's got a girl's voice.
Aww.
And then there's another one who calls himself Radio Live, who's just trying to sell me some website.
Yeah, but the caliber of people isn't very good, to be honest. Hugo's told you to piss off. Man. We're gonna leave. We're gonna leave here for
week. Everyone's leaving now. I've come on.
We're gonna have a full-out forum war, but yeah, this this woman is completely ridiculous, though. Fancy, made over 700 calls.
She should have just called you, Roger. You'd have been well up for it, wouldn't you?
Definitely. I find Polish people quite attractive, to be honest. Because they seem all moody. But they're quite nice.
I suppose. Not all of them.
I had a Polish taxi driver once, and she seemed to be always in a bad temper. But, like, it's not. It was just her mannerisms. And, like, she was really nice and talked non-stop. And I just said, yeah.
And you found her attractive?
No, she was a bit old for me, to be fair. But, like, it was great because, like, it wasn't hard to talk to. I couldn't really understand what she was saying. But I just went, oh, yeah, vodka. And she just, because that was the only Polish thing I could think of. And so she just talks about vodka for absolutely ages and how her mate...
You just threw on the stereotypes that are ingrained in your mind.
True,
didn't bother to ask her anything about her culture.
I did. I said, have you, how's vodka in your
culture? Narrow-minded bigot.
Oh, dear, I'm sure Daniel Piggott will be listening. And, what happened then? She said she then told this rambling...
What's he got to do with Daniel Piggott? Oh, right, Piggott. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's quite a good joke. She then went on this rambling story about this vodka party she'd been to, and this guy...
Oh, so the actual stereotype was true?
Yeah, and she said a friend of his had fallen out the top of a window, and she said it's okay, he landed in the snow and he was too drunk to be hurt. And then she said, I said, oh, I tend to stay off vodka, which is true. I just keep to beer and stuff mainly. And then she just goes, good. Vodka in this country is shit. It's complete shit. And she said, just went mad, saying how bad the vodka was in this country.
She thinks that Smirnoff is a travesty.
It is. She said it's just rubbish.
Of the Polish people.
Oh, dear. Anyway, you've come on to... We've gone from sex-addicted women to Polish people. Maybe there's a connection there.
She might have been Polish, you never know. And she might have just been drunk when she was making those temples on vodka. There's connections in all these things, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Actually, she was Polish, and I've already said that, so it's not such a weird link. And yeah, I believe you've started yet another bonkers Facebook group. And before you start, aren't there enough bonkers, nonsensical Facebook groups out there?
No. Because this one, virtually, is not bonkers. It's important. People need to know the facts.
Oh, is this the one about saving famine relief in Asia?
No. This is about cream eggs.
Is it true? Nobody cares about that.
Cadbury's cream eggs.
Right. Cream eggs.
Cream eggs give you dreams. If you eat a cream egg, any time after about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you will have a very weird dream.
Right. Okay.
I kid you not.
Can you see the rod cam now?
I can see you, Rodri.
Yeah, I've got a cream egg.
I can see that shiny beacon of hope that you're holding up in your right hand.
I'm unwrapping it now and I'm going to eat it.
You're going to eat it live on air?
Yeah, live on air. How extreme. Well, you can tell
this is pushing the boundaries of radio.
Tell people how... God, we've got to get you in the studio. I reckon you'd be quite funny. I reckon, Johnny, tell people how they can get on this stupid Facebook group of yours. I mean, brilliant Facebook group of yours.
Well, you go on Facebook and then you type in a little search thing in capital letters. The Egg of Dreams will pop up, nice little group, click on it, join it, tell us what you have to say, maybe experiment with some Cadbury's cream eggs, see if you have a dream. You never know what could happen, it could be amazing, it could be a revelation.
Sorry, I was extracting the yolk.
Thank Rod, it's Friday!
Well, that's just about it from this week's Rodcast, but please, please, please keep checking the site schedule
for more live shows. The next podcast that is going to be released is going to be a podcast special from when me and my co-host Josh took over a hospital radio station for a whole 3 hours, and we did a show for the children's wards. It was absolutely brilliant. Please download it, and download this one as well, obviously. Although, you won't have heard me saying that unless you already downloaded it. So, I've just told you to go download a podcast you've already downloaded. But keep your eyes peeled for the next one. Anyway, what a crazy show it's been this week. Thanks to Marwood, our band, myspace.com/Marwood. Thanks to Johnny. Thanks to Ugly Phil, our guest. So, God, sounds like an Oscars ceremony. This is me running out of steam and things to say. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening to Spam Fritters Radio, otherwise known as Rodders FM.
Broadcast then a show, and then I really have to go. You've been the only thing that's right on the radio. Rodders, Rodders, you've been my favorite show. I can hear the radio if I'm not gonna hear your voice. Louder, louder, I'll turn up the stereo. I will hear the radio.